there'll be nothing said. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been in the book of Nehemiah now for about a month, I believe. Is that correct? And I want to do a little more than that. Also, so some of you have been timing the process. What have we learned so far from the book of Nehemiah? First of all, have any of you been blessed from this book study?
Amen.
Yeah. Well, seeing that you've been blessed, I want to know what blessed you. So what have you learned so far from the book of Nehemiah? This narrative, yes.
That the rebuilding of the walls is in the city definition. Defined without the wall, it is undefined.
Okay. The building of the wall, or the rebuilding of the wall, defines the city. Okay. What else? Anybody else? Yes.
It took teamwork.
Okay, it took teamwork. The people were together in the effort. And it didn't take them very long. How long did it take them, actually, to finish the wall from start to finish? 52 days. It says, if I get on board with what God is doing, it won't take me long to get to my destination. Right? Yeah, because sometimes the departure from what God expects of us causes delay. Yeah. So they were together and it didn't take them long. Yes, Monty.
It's an example of what the favor of God can do.
Okay. It was the result of God's favor. And what is God's favor? God leaning in your direction. Yeah. That's God's favor. Now, they asked to do a little testimony, and I was going to stand up and say something. But most of you know I've been doing the prison ministry now for about, 11 years? And I'm going to retire in March of this year. And the reason I'm going to retire, I had planned to retire in 3 years from now. That would have been, 2014? But what happened, God leaned my way, and the prison offered me a salary that I any salary that I wanted to retire. Yeah. That's an example of God's favor. He leans in your direction. Yeah, when he leans in your direction, I think our preacher said tonight, doesn't matter who is against you, family, friends, or foe. Whatever God has designed for you, you will get. Don't have to get angry with anybody. Don't have to fuss anybody out. Don't have to plot against nobody. Whatever God has designed for you, you will get. So Nehemiah here hears about the walls being torn down. Is that right? And then he prays. He goes before the king, and the king gives Nehemiah whatever he wants to complete the task. Now, I think in the last lesson we were together, help me if I'm wrong, I think it was December 13th, we were looking at the restoration. The what? It was a season of consecration. It was chapter 8. Okay. What's happening in chapter 8? There was a celebration. What was the celebration about? All right. The walls were completed. Did Nehemiah go home? Because there was a promise of Nehemiah to the king that once the walls are completed, I would come home. Is that right? Why didn't he go home?
Because he got a plan in place to maintain the wall and people to support it.
So there was a need for the job that had been completed to continue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yes.
Well, just because the walls of the city were up doesn't mean that the people, the walls within their lives were rebuilt. They still had issues they had with the wall.
Oh, they had issues. She said they had issues. So even though the walls were completed, there was still something wrong. Because God's focus was really not on just the wall. The wall was for the community. The important piece was the community. So the important piece here is, after I've cleaned or rebuilt the city, I need to rebuild the people that's in the city. Is that right? Doesn't do me any good to have a brand new house. And then I put someone in the house who's going to tear it up. Right? Yeah. Yes. The wall was just the piece of the project, okay? Because see, the necessity of the wall was for the protection of the people. And the whole plan of salvation was not yet completed. Because the important piece of the salvation of the nation of Israel was the people. Is that correct? So Nehemiah takes them from rebuilding the walls to rebuilding lives. Is that right? A couple years ago, about 10, 12 years ago, there was a development. There was a development in Jersey City. I worked for PSCNG. And they had this development on the borderline of Jersey City and Bayonne. It was called Curry Woods. And it was a project. Yeah. So they had started to revitalize the project, putting in new plumbing, putting in new stoves, etc. But they were also in the process of replacing some people. They did not want the same people in the projects because those people had helped to tear down the project. And what God did not want to do is rebuild a city and then have the people in the city tear it up. Because the reason the city was torn down in the first place was because of the stuff that was in them. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The walls were torn down because of them. Yes, Monty.
Right. The walls were symbolic of standards.
Yes.
And once the walls had come down, the standards of the people had come down. And so in rebuilding the walls, you had to also rebuild standards inside them in terms of their own spiritual growth and everything else had to be rebuilt.
Could I play with that for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I think the standards of the people had come down.
Right.
And that led to the coming down of the walls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And the rebuilding of the walls was symbolic of rebuilding their standard.
Right.
Is that right? Yes.
Well, not only that, they were also scattered all over the place. And they had picked up bad habits and old behaviors of other nations. And so they want to bring them back to be on one accord so that they can get back to where they needed to be.
Well, they were on one accord, right? I mean, they were together when they built the wall.
Some of the ways of where they came from. They had picked up bad habits.
So you're saying then that the place they came from or the place they had been brought from, they brought some of the stuff with them. Oh, okay, I'm getting the picture. Yeah, okay. So, in chapter 8, there was a celebration. And does anybody know what time of year this was for the celebration? It was the what? The Feast of the? Okay, it was the Feast. What month was it? It was the 7th month. Now, according to Jewish culture, the 7th month represented a time between September-ish and October, which was their new year. Yeah, so that was a reason for the celebration. It was their new year. What do? New Year's? We celebrate, right? Yeah. But notice where they had the celebration. Where were they positioned? They were at the where?
Temple.
Somebody said at the temple? You think they were at the temple? What is... Yeah, look at verse 1. Where were they? They were in front. Now this is significant. They were in front of the water gate. Now, just so you know, the water gate, there were about 12 walls to the city. To this, huh? There were 12 gates. What did I say, 12 walls? I'll be all right in a minute. Yeah, there were 12 gates. The water gate was just below the valley gate. And the water gate was a place where they had made a wall so they could get to the only source of water for the city. And this spring that supplied the water was called Gihon. And the word Gihon means bursting forth. Anybody remember the pool of Siloam? Yeah. Well, that spring fed the pool of Siloam. It was what was referred to as an intermediate spring. It would spring forth water about 20 minutes, then it would stop. Spring forth water about 20 minutes. And when it came to springing forth water, the water would come up bubbling. So there was a culture thing there that people thought that this water, bubbling water, had been touched by the angels. Remember the man at the pool of Siloam? Waiting, what, 38 years? Yeah, well, that's why he was waiting, because it was at the time where the pool was bubbling. Okay? But this was the only source of water for the city. And water is crucial, is that right? And normally in the scriptures, water is symbolic of the spirit. But also water is symbolic of cleansing. So they were at the right place at the right time. Your God doesn't do anything haphazard. There's a reason why they were there. Now, the temple, someone said here, the temple. Solomon's temple was humongous. But when Nebuchadnezzar came, he tore that temple down. Because their glory... The glory of Israel was centered around the temple. But I think God was, as our preacher was talking about, the cave was to prune us. I think the tearing down of their temple helped to prune them, because they had to find another source of life and strength. And their strength was not in the temple. It was the reason for the temple. And they had forgotten that. So now this temple was too small for them to gather in, so they had to gather by the water gate. Yeah. So they're in the right place at the right time. What did they do while they were in the area of the water gate? They did what? Well, how did Ezra read the scripture? Did he just walk out and say, oh, come here, y'all. I got this announcement I want to read. How did Ezra get to the point of reading the scripture? You said Nehemiah appointed him? Okay, yeah, they stood him up. Okay, but how did he get there?
Nehemiah appointed him. He was already appointed.
Now, Ezra had been in exile. Is that right? Yeah. He had been to the city 14 years before Nehemiah gets there. And his purpose then was to rebuild the temple. Is that right? But how did he get out of his office? He's in the pastor's office, and all of a sudden, he's... Okay, the people assembled, but what else did they do? They ask. They ask for the word. Is that right? They ask for the word, and what was their response? Because your response to God's word says a lot about you and how you feel about God. Right? If I sent Sharon a message, called on the phone, sent her a text message, and she keeps ignoring me, or when I pick up the phone and I say, Sharon, it's me, and she gives me this mundane, yeah, okay. What do you think Sharon is trying to tell me? That, what? What I'm about to say or what I want to say may not be important to her. Is that right? So your response to God's word is critical, right? Is that right? So they were excited about God's word. They wanted to hear God's word, so they ask. And Nehemiah is then commissioned to go and get Ezra. Why didn't Nehemiah do it? You say it's not his calling. How do we know that? Ezra was the priest. So they had shared responsibilities. Nehemiah didn't want all the glory for himself. Is that right? And when it came time for the word to be disseminated, he gave it over to one whose job it was to disseminate it. Is that right? It says, I got to stay in my channel. Mm-hmm. If God asks me to sweep the floor, that's what I do. Right? I can't go and be Monty Tatum. That's not what God called me to do. So I have to stay in my channel. And note that Ezra did not wait until it came time for him to preach, to prepare. Right? He had been preparing while he was in exile. And exile only means I'm somewhere where I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I'm not comfortable being in exile, but even though I'm there, I'm going to still prepare for the time when God asked me to contribute. Anybody catching anything from this? Yeah. All the people had many stages of opposition. Is that right? Is that right? Building the wall, they had many stages of opposition. And what do we say is one of the best ways to deal with opposition? And people bad-mouthing what you're trying to do. What do we say one of the best things to do with that? Do what? Continue to produce. Right? The naysayers kept talking. But at some point in time, when they saw the walls completed, they had to stop. Right? I don't have to say anything to anybody who disagrees with the fact that God has something designed for me. I just keep doing that. And eventually they'll see, right, what God is doing. So, what were some of the other responses from the people when they heard the word? What happened? So when Ezra reads the word, they stand. This was a show of reverence. They revered or revered the word. They lifted their hands. Well, we're going to get there. Because, see, the word does produce some responses from us. All right? And one of the questions I think went over, I think the last lesson we were at, what are some of the things that may drown, may kill your desire for the word? Did we go over that? Because I wasn't here for that class. I was at work. Okay. They didn't discuss it, so let's do it tonight real quick. What do you think are some of the things that may drown, may kill your desire to hear? Yes, Jessica. Circumstances? Okay. How so? Well, you know me. You know how we do, Jessica. I'm from Mars. I'm from Mars, and I know nothing about this.
Like if you're tired of your job.
Okay.
And all you do is just focus on that and not on maybe praying that God will give you direction or, you know, just focusing on trying to find your own way out of that situation.
So my situation can cause me to lose focus. Okay. What else? What else kills our initiative or drive to hear the word? Yes, Sharon.
Well, children. I mean,
being tired.
You said children. Okay. Okay. In service, you say. Okay. So your immediate surroundings, yes.
I guess succumbing to your own fleshly desires, or your own fleshly will, and trying to that can really kill your desire for God because you're turning yourself into a God instead of.
So there are some things that are going through my mind while I'm in service that can distract me from the word. Is that what you're saying? Okay. What else? Yes. Fear. Mm-hmm. How does fear distract you?
Well, fear of what's going to happen. Fear that you're not in control. You don't know your kind of future. Fear of making a step, or making the wrong choice. So fear.
Okay. Yes.
People around you.
People around you. You ever had that happen? All right, we'll keep that on the down low, all right? People around you, yes, yes.
Depends on who the person is that's giving the message.
Hmm. Should that matter?
No.
Well, I'm just.
Because it's evident. It all depends on who's giving them.
So, if my favorite speaker, preacher is not there, well, I'm just interpreting what you were saying. Oh, okay. I'm just. So, is yes.
Sin as a way of being distracted.
Sin?
Yes.
Okay. Sin. How? Sin.
When we are in sin, it causes guilt.
Okay.
It will cause us sometimes to want to stay away from.
So, something I've done,
yes,
or something I didn't do may have an impact on my response to the word.
Yes.
Okay? Well, in chapter 8, let's look at verse 9. When the whole celebration, peace of the service changes, what does Nehemiah do to get them back on track? What does Nehemiah do? Yes, he refocuses on celebration, but now I just been made to feel guilty about something I heard from the pulpit. That's easier said than done, right? Yes. So he redirects their attention. Because what had happened, something, and according to some scholars, they think that what was being read was chapter 23 of Leviticus, where they talked about some of the things that had occurred. I think it's chapter 23 of Leviticus. And in chapter 23 of Leviticus, it points to the time when they were in the wilderness, right? And when they were in the wilderness, there were some loss of lives while they were in the wilderness, due to the fact that they had made a detour from what God had asked of them. Is that right? And this kind of reminded them of the things that you were talking about, Garrett, their sins. And when you are in service, or when you are trying to worship, and there is a constant rehearsal of your yesterday, how do you bring praise in your today?
Yeah.
Right? That happens. Is that right? Because they had some memories of the past. And some of the memories of their past had nothing to do with what they had done, but what some others had done. Because, see, some of them that were listening had not been born at the time of the wilderness, right? I have a class at the jail. I'm going to be dealing with the ladies there, and the subject matter deals with the woman who had the issue of blood. We're going to do a little workshop, and it's called Woman with an Issue. And the first piece of that, we're going to talk about the fact that her issue named her. Second piece we're going to talk about is the length of time she lived in her cave. Right? Because what has happened to many people is that their past is still their present. Yeah. I had one young lady who was in the class is there because some loved one did something to her 10 years ago. And 10 years ago is still today. And she's not able to get past this issue. Right? So, as Brick said, what Nehemiah does is he refocuses the people on the purpose. Well, what happens in prison? Anybody here know the system? Our penal system, how it works? Real quick. All right, here's how it works. You get arrested. Legally, they must prove within the first 100 days that you are guilty of what you've been arrested for. All right? When that doesn't happen, guilt is automatically assumed. Oh, yeah. You didn't know that, huh? Yeah. Well, yeah. According to the law, you're innocent to proven guilty. According to the penal system, no, you're guilty to proven innocent. That's what works. Okay? Now, the longer you stay in, there is a rehearsal of what is called of your discovery. Your discovery is a document or documents that contain your past. Yeah, if you had a ran a red light in your discovery. You got a ticket in your discovery. So when you go before the judge, he reads your discovery. And he makes his decision on your past. Yeah, he determines your future, where you're going, but what he has read about your past. That's what happens. And sometimes, right in service, the judge, the devil, starts to read your past. Right? And before you know it, you've gone from celebration to crying. Right? You have lost focus on the purpose of why you're there. You thought about the phone call you got from the doctor that told you you have cancer. Or the pink slip that you just got from your job is still there. But you got the pink slip yesterday, so that is considered history. Right? Has nothing to do with your future. Because if you got it on Friday and you're sitting in church on Sunday, you have lived past your Friday.
All right.
I'm just, am I right? So, Nehemiah redirects their focus and tells them that today is a day of the Lord. Is that right? Because that day was meant for celebration and new beginnings. Yeah, that was the new year. What do we do in New Year's? And what else do we do? We drink? I didn't get to that part yet. We make New Year's resolutions. And what are the New Year's resolutions for? For what? They are for change. Yeah. So the word that generated the crying also generated change. Is that right? Because now they're reading from, I think it was 23rd of Leviticus, a piece of that talks about the fact that you live in houses that you did not build. You eat from the vine, grapes that you did not plant. And what it was showing them, that in spite of the fact that you messed up, yeah, God did not give up on what you did. Yeah, he didn't give up on you because of what you did. And one of the things I try to do for the people inside the jail is to develop hope. Because one thing reminding you of your past will do, it will eradicate your future. Yeah. But one thing about the word, yeah, it points to your past. Can I use this illustration? Forgive my writing. Don't tell him we said that. Can you read that? Yeah. See, people will do this. They will stand here, talk about you here, and negate you getting here. God stands here, helps you to understand here, and pushes you there. That's what he does. So when he tells them this is a day of the Lord, he was pointing to the fact that this day was meant for celebration. Now the Holy Spirit will work on you until the point of confession. Yeah. Get you to the point of confession. And after that, you have to walk in your freedom. But what some of us do, we keep walking back. How many of you got license? to drive. Okay. You got a license. I'm just kidding. Have you ever tried to move forward looking in the rearview mirror? You ever try to do that? Yeah. Try to drive forward looking in the rearview mirror. What happens? You crash into things. Is that right? And that's the reason when they hear about their past, some of them stayed there. Yeah, they hung out in yesterday. And what Nehemiah had to do was jumpstart their tomorrow. Because the guilt was holding them in yesterday. Some of them were not even born when the wilderness took place. But the guilt put them back there. You go to chapter 13, I think, verse 26. Some of them didn't even understand the Hebrew language. So when you see that the priest was breaking it down, what they had to do was break down the Aramaic language, which was the language of servitude and slavery that came from Babylon. They had to break that down into the language of the Hebrew so that they could understand what the word was saying. So when they heard this message about yesterday, some of them camped out right there. They started crying. Yeah. But the same word that makes you cry, yeah, makes you laugh. Yeah, weeping might endure for a night. But the second piece says, joy comes in the morning. Is that right? Yeah. God points you forward. Yeah, not backwards. So, let's look at verse 10. How were they to celebrate their future? What was that? Okay, don't grieve. What was that? They were to eat. Yeah, okay. What were they to eat, though? Well, the word fat, that means eat the good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Yeah. God's got some good stuff for you. Got my fingers crossed for you, cuz. Yeah. God's got some good. Yeah, he tells them to eat the fat. Is that right? Now, he didn't literally mean fat. So don't go out and go home and say, listen, I'm going to go by Acme and get some fat. Because, my steak, I'll tell the guy to leave the fat on it because, but that's not healthy. But anyway, what he was trying to get them to do, eat the good stuff. What else did he tell them to do? What was the drinking of the sweet stuff? You said it was wine? Could have been fruit juice, Sharon. I mean, Gatorade or something like that. Okay, they were wine drink. What was significant about the drinking of the sweet wine? Because see, during Passover, they would eat bitter herbs. And the bitter herbs were to remind them of the 430 years of bitterness that they had stayed in Egypt. But now he tells them, I want you to drink sweet wine and eat the fat. Yeah. I want you to drink. Now, the wine is symbolic of the spirit. And the wine, it invigorates. Is that right? Yeah. I don't know because I'm gonna go. Oh, okay. We Marv, you second that? So, all right. what he was telling them, there was this word. Everybody see that? Yeah. Yeah. Sentia. It's an action word. It means be happy. That's what it means. Be happy. Yeah, forget about what happened yesterday. That's been erased. Be happy for what's happening right now. Does making sense? Because sometimes we never see the blessings of today because we're looking at failures of yesterday. And then we say God hasn't done what he said he was going to do. Well, the reason why God hasn't done what he said he was going to do is because you're looking at the things that you used to do. Yeah, you're looking at you. And as the Brickishaw said, it wasn't about them so much as it was about what God was doing. Everybody catching that? Because I've heard some preachers say that God of the Old Testament is not the same God today. In other words, God doesn't do what God did yesterday. And I don't believe that because you're looking at something right here that's proof that God still does today what he did yesterday. All right? He still gives out favor to his people, just like he did yesterday. But all that information is contained in the word. One of the greatest mistakes we make as believers is that we don't familiarize ourselves with the word. Now, when you bought your car, what did it come with? It came with an owner's manual. Is that right? And in the owner's manual, there is a section for troubleshooting, right? And it says, if something goes awry, here's what you do. And it also says, if for any reason this car, this piece malfunctions, bring it back to the person who made it, I guarantee repair. Is that right? Well, guess what? Here's your owner's manual that says, anytime you break down anywhere, there's roadside service. Right, right. And if there are some issues that you can straighten out, troubleshooting, the instructions, if the light don't come on your dashboard, here's what you do. Is that right? Right here. Yeah. You will find every issue of life right here. And the reason the manufacturer left you with the manual is so that you can drive through life without worry or concern. Is that enough? All right. And on that note, I'm finished. Any questions? We got three announcements. Just so you know, tomorrow at 12, the noonday Bible study has been canceled. And Women of Purpose, I think we're having a kickoff breakfast next Saturday at 9 o'clock. Is it this Saturday? See, they got next Saturday up here. And I got my glasses on, so. Also, the 17th, that's this coming Monday, Martin Luther King Day. And there's a 26th annual Morris Interfaith Breakfast at the Hyatt, right here in Morristown. So, Mary, who has tickets? I know Dr. Jameson would have. Sister Park and Brother Sims. Oh, okay. Okay. And also keep in prayer Brother Glenn Garrett, because he lost his mother, and the details are in the office. Yeah. Just keep that family in your prayers. Let's stand. Well, I